Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
This is Ralph Cormack Bedrow the second, coming to you live out of Alaska. Nice, beautiful, sunny day up here. Gosh, we got a really long day. Let's see, what's the temperature running here today? Man, it's really nice out there. 65 degrees, just right. I'm going to cover several things today. The Affordable Care Act. I'm also going to cover, there is a, which is an amazing, something I have never seen. I've looked at a lot of regulations. And I need to lay the groundwork again, because it just, it's not taught. And I am assuming that the attorneys that filed in the case in Alabama with a whistleblower, that there are 45,000 deaths or more. And, the government reporting place today, I think it was 11,000, let me look and see here, 11,402 or something like that deaths now. That's a lot of folks. And we know they're not telling us the truth. No, as of the 16th, today there's 11,405 deaths. 172 miscarriages, 4,381 heart attacks, 11,221 disabled. Oh, ain't that special? And you want to go out and get this thing. Now, the part that puzzles me, first of all, like I say, I need to, I guess, lay the legal foundation for this, because it's beyond lawyers. Most lawyers are not taught this, unfortunately. I have the first year law book, and I talked to somebody else that just went quite a few years back through law school, and she said they're not teaching what's really going on in reality. They're basically like the Jews. The Jews claim to use the first five books of the Bible, but yet they rely upon the rabbi's Babylonian Talmud. And she said that's what the law school, they don't use the Constitution, basically. It's based on other cases of law, which has been, quote, evolving and changing instead of going back to the basics of what, which I'm going to get into. There was another case that's really important. It's Sullivan versus the Times. And it's about the media. Maybe I'll do that one first. That's an easier one to do first. Back in 1964, the Supreme Court did an amazing thing in the Sullivan case. That was a major turning point on libel and those sorts of things. Being able to lie in the news about people and not be held accountable. And you hear all the time, I get so tired of hearing this on the news, well, the media is not doing their job. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. Well, if you go back and you look at this case, it's a Supreme Court case, and it was denied the writ of certiorari. Thomas and Gorsuch wrote against it. They wanted to accept this because they say the Sullivan case, and what does the Sullivan case basically say? What it basically says, and they have expanded on it over the years, that anybody can lie about anybody if you're a public official, in the public, anything to do with the public, you can just lie, and you have to prove actual malice. And the standard is so high. And they overturned 200 years of libel law when they did this back in 1964. So the bottom line is, under the actual malice regime, as it has evolved, this is what they said, ignorance is bliss. We don't need to know the truth. How do you run a country if you never find out what the truth is? How is that possible? It's not possible. It boggles the mind. So they have a license to lie. A license to lie. And there basically is no accountability at all. And the few cases that do get up on libel or ruining your character or something, 1 out of 10 of those, if they make it, will get overturned. You just cannot make this stuff up. I mean, I just cannot believe. I knew that they were protected, but I didn't realize it was this bad. So in other words, because what it said here, this was back in the older, this is using the common law. The common law deemed libels against public figures to be more serious and injurious than ordinary libels. This is an opinion by Thomas. And the actual malice, they say, like here, this is Thomas talking, has no relation to the text, history, or structure of the Constitution. Nothing to do with the Constitution. They just made it up. Now, there was issues. I looked a little bit into history. Of course, the blacks back in the brought this back in the 50s and 60s, were really getting pounded on in the South. But that was no reason for the court to wander off in this direction. But that's what they did. There was another saying. This was from Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, It expects what never was and never will be. There is no safe deposit for liberty but with the people, where the press is free and every man able to read. So the question becomes, if everybody, and that includes all the blogs and all this other stuff, if everybody can lie with immunity, do you see that we might have a problem? It's no longer called the news and the media. It's like Avestia or the Pravda out of Russia. One was the news, the other was the truth, and it was neither one of them, both of them, were totally propaganda rags for the communist. And that's what we have today. Almost all media is totally propaganda rags for their communist, Marxist, BLM, globalist, and there's no accountability. Why would I go to the news media that can lie and nothing ever happens? Imagine not being held accountable. How do you see? This is what started back in the 1880s. See, when the time of Lincoln and those presidents, when they got in, they almost wiped out all the people underneath them and started with people that were of their liking. So they started the civil service stuff. Then they started something that has gone on today. The Interstate Commerce Commission was the first one. I think it was about 1880, somewhere along in there. We are going to set up outside of our Constitution agencies. They will no longer be under political control, so they're going to do really good. So we'll have the President and Congress set these entities up. And then they're going to do the right thing because they'll be under no political control. I kid you not. And this is what they've done. And I'm going to look up here and read off a list of them. This is just a partial list. This isn't all of them. They sit outside the Constitution. Imagine raising a child with no accountability. Do you really honestly think that anybody in this world can operate with not our whole world? Our republic is built on a limited delegation of power from we the people, and to hold them accountable. That no longer exists today. It's all been overthrown. This is in 45 U.S.C. 3502. They're called independent regulatory agencies. The Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. Now, everybody should know that the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the government. It's 12 independent banks. And we're so stupid. This happened in 1913 after the 17th Amendment. We ask them to print money, and we have to pay them. How do you ever pay back? If I have a dollar printed and I have to pay back a dollar and a penny, there's no way to ever get out of debt. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Federal Energy Regulation Commission, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, the Federal Marine Commission, the Federal Trade Commission, the Interstate Commerce Commission, the Mines Enforcement Safety and Health Review Commission, National Labor Relations Board, National Regulatory Commission, Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, Postal Regulatory Commission, Security and Exchange Commission, SEC, the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, the Office of Financial Reserves, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and other ones. They all sit outside the Constitution of the United States. They admit it. So what's the safety mechanism? This is what is not taught. Here's how it's supposed to work. We give a limited delegation of power to our several states. They're all sovereign. They are supposed to have their own constitution, their own laws. And then those several states had a compact, and they established the government of the United States, which is a constitution for the United States of America. And only in certain limited areas is the government of the United States sovereign. And that's only if the laws of the United States are made pursuant to the Constitution. They gave that up a long time ago. That's been gone a long time. It's all an illusion. But anyway, there has to be an affirmative act by Congress to make what we think is a law of the United States. They get together, put a bill, pass it. Well, if it gets vetoed, they get around and they override the veto. Same thing with the legislature. Those are affirmative acts that can affect our lives. So the question becomes, if I am an agency, what affirmative act do I do? Does it do? What affirmative act does an agency do that may affect, I say may because they don't, affect you and me? They can't pass laws of the United States. They can't pass laws of the several states. So what do they do? Nobody seems to catch on. They got to do something. They have to do some affirmative act. I can't just go on CNN and say, hey, we're going to have a national emergency or something, and y'all got to wear masks or something. It doesn't work that way. They set up an alternate, unconstitutional government. Supreme Court talked about that early in the 19th century, 1900s. You're setting up an alternate government. How does this alternate government work? In 1935, they said a federal agency means the President of the United States. So that's how he gets to operate it. He does executive orders. His executive orders must go in the Federal Register. He can't do an executive order without putting it in the Federal Register. And it can never rise to the level of force and effect of law unless it's a specific delegation of power from Congress. Otherwise, we can't keep up the illusion that Congress makes laws of the United States. So there has to be a specific one. Say, hey, Comrade Dementia Biden, would you please make an executive order on specifically wearing masks on an airplane? Courts say so. Do they do that? No. Now he does, the President of the United States under national emergency does have powers. But those still got to be put in the Federal Register. So now we get back to an agency. How do agencies work? The Federal Register Act says explicitly, if you are a federal agency, commission, all of them, they're all covered. Your affirmative act, the only affirmative act that is recognized in America, shall be published in the Federal Register. And it's called General Applicability and Legal Effect. There is no getting around it. If you are an agency, you shall, your only affirmative act that you can do, because you can't make laws of the United States. Can't make laws of the several states. You can't just do edicts. You can't do executive orders. You can't do none of that. You shall, general applicability, it shall be in the Federal Register. General applicability and legal effect. And they also said, if it's not there, shut up. And they also said, everybody has to take judicial notice. Now, why did they say that? Because this alternate universe had the rule of law. Everybody must take judicial notice back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
There has to be an affirmative act. The first step, it shall be in the Federal Register. That's the only affirmative act that's recognized in America. And if it ain't there, without notice, just like if Congress doesn't pass a law of the United States, obviously I can't be prosecuted for it, because if I don't know about it, nobody else does. Well, how are they going to prosecute me? So the Affirmative Act has to be in the Federal Register. Now, they did this because when FDR came in March 4th, 1934, I mean, he just went wild with executive orders, and there were tens of thousands of regulations, and nobody was keeping track of nothing, and everybody was in charge, and it was totally out of control. And in 1937, FDR had a commission, and there's a 400-page document I got. He said, absolutely, these agencies are out of my control and out of Congress's control. So they put the Federal Register Act in 1935. So they say, okay, here is the Affirmative Act, and here's where we can keep a record of what agencies are up to. General applicability and legal effect. But just making the regulation doesn't mean it has general applicability and legal effect, because also any other types of regulations, and the one that is amazing that we're going to talk about that most people don't know about, and how would we know, is 5 U.S.C. 301, departmental regulations. Departmental, does it say anything like about you and me? It says, quote, the head of the executive department or military department may prescribe regulations for the government of his department, the conduct of its employees, the distribution and performance of its business, and the custody and use and preservation of its records, papers, and property. Is there any doubt? It's strictly like an internal how to run the internal part of an agency. Has nothing to do, it's 5 U.S.C. 301. With that in mind, IRS is a done deal. There's no reason to do IRS, but I'm not going to get into that today. But there's 706, and number one, the notice of deficiency for tax evasion and to get in tax court is a 301 reg. The assessment they have to have is a 301 reg. The notice of federal lien to file in your county is a 301 reg. Liens, levy, the straight is a 301 reg. Do I need to go any farther? There's 706 of those suckers. They're all internal. How do we have a tax court that the only authority is internal regulations for the IRS for decades? Where the heck is the attorneys? This is the con. They use code. Agencies have no authority to use code. Their only thing that they can talk to you and me, their only affirmative act is regulations, and they are mandated to stick to them. Except they don't use them. You go to the IRS homepage, search on 301 regs, or search on subsidy regs. Oh, we won't talk about that. It's a lie. And they've been getting away with it for decades. So what is, how, let's get back to how this works. So the agency, affirmative act, the only one it can do is put in the Federal Register its publication, general applicability, legal effect, and the rule of law, judicial notice. Everybody has to take judicial notice, affirmative section 7. Because it's a whole form of how to rule over us that have no clue. So everybody has to take judicial notice. And how does it work? Like 26 CFR 301-6331. 26 is the title. CFR is a compilation of Federal Register publications. 301, or it could be 1, part 1, is a part of that whatever title it's doing. Like in the IRS, there's part 31. Finance stuff, there's a part 1, which is supposed to be income tax, but it's 301s. They label them 301, period. And then the next has to be the particular statute that it's supposed to be associated with. So it's the title. CFR is the compilation. Section, and then it'll be 301, or it could be part 1, some other part of a statute. Then period, and then the actual code section. So then once I find that, does that mean anything? Absolutely not, unless it says 301. If it says 301, we are done. Supreme Court in Chrysler v. Brown says Section 301 is a housekeeping statute authorizing rules of agency organization.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All agencies, they shall put in, the only affirmative act they have is to put it in the Federal Register. And it has to be judicially noticed by everybody, and if it's not there, have a nice life. Because we have to have notice. Now, the second test is the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. Because there's no way to look at a CFR and see if it has the force and effect of law unless it's labeled 5 U.S.C. 301. 5 U.S.C. 301 says it's strictly internal. The head of the department is issuing nonsense for his flunkies and employees and all that nonsense. I could care less. They don't tell us that. So, the second test is called, you have to have the predicate for formal rulemaking, which is codified in 5 U.S.C. 553, especially B, a little B as in maker in parenthesis, or the informal. You will never see a formal because they have no authority to do any of this, by the way. It's all a con. So they will use the informal. Or they will do nothing. Or they'll just have a notice and comment. Irrelevant. Means nothing. They only got two choices, formal or informal. They have no other way to arrive at anything that has the force and effect of law. So we got step one, you shall, your affirmative act is put it in the Federal Register, general applicability and legal effect. Everybody has to take judicial notice because that's the rule of law. for the world of the administrative state. And the second test is the APA. Formal, you'll never see one. Don't worry about it. So what they will do, they will say everything in the world. They won't say anything, or will do a notice and comment with nothing else. Or if they do a correct informal, the predicate for informal is impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. First thing to understand, agencies are the enemy of the people. How do we know that? Because this comes right out of the instructions. This is an amazing, it's Senate Report 752, done in 1945. It goes through in great detail everything about the Administrative Procedures Act and what it's supposed to do. And it says, if they use this exemption, which we're going to do the informal, it's impractical, unnecessary, contrary to the public interest. The exemption of situation of emergency or necessity is not an escape clause in the sense that any agency has discretion to disregard its terms or facts. A true and supported or supportable finding of necessity or emergency must be made and published. So in other words, if they say that, they have to declare, what's the big emergency? Do you think the IRS has emergencies using that? Of course not. And we're going to get into, was this an emergency for what was filed? I am 100% behind the American frontline doctors, because they were out in front using hydroxychloroquine and other stuff. They had a bevy of lawyers file this lawsuit, and I'm going to get into it in a minute. But I don't think these lawyers knew or know what's going on, because it's not time. So anyway, how could I say they're an enemy? So what is impractical, unnecessary, and public interest? The thing you have to always look at, and what are the definitions? What does it mean? Impractical. How can something be impractical? It says, means a situation in which the due and required execution of an agency functions would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking procedures. Well, does that tell you that they're on our side? It would be unavoidably prevented if we actually let the public know what we're doing. They would say, wait a minute, we ain't doing this. We can't have that. Can we? Unnecessary means I'm not particularly interested in that. Well, how could I be interested in everything that these agencies do? So that's BS. And public interest puts it all together. Says it supplements. Impractical and unnecessary requires the public rulemaking procedures shall not prevent an agency from operating. Shall not prevent an agency from operating. So in other words, if you followed the rules and said, this impractical and unnecessary, and put in the emergency, then we would have a right to comment. We could stop them from doing it. So we are not going to allow you to allow the agency to proceed forward with its nonsense. They are the enemy of the people. All agencies, without exception. Are they supposed to be making laws that we could stop? It's supposed to be in the Congress or in the legislature how bills and stuff get stopped. It's by representatives or senators representing us that stop it. Because they got to have enough votes to make it go. This way here, they say, oh no, we're not going to allow you to even attempt to stop us. And they put it, is that what their purpose is? So that we can't stop them? Is that the purpose of a bill that the legislature does? I don't think so. Doesn't sound like a limited delegation of power. So getting back to the overview. The predicate for formal never happens. The predicate for the informal, it's impractical, unnecessary, or not in the public interest, or they say nothing, or they'll use notice in combat a lot, unless it has those three and the emergency declared, it can never rise to having what's called the force and effect of law. I've never seen one yet has the force and effect of law. They always leave out the emergency, or they just have notice and comment, or they just say it's impractical, or what are they? All there's, it's all over the place. But they are the enemy. So let's say, okay, then when they get done, they've got 30 days, same nonsense, impractical and all that, before it takes effect. So how it works is, when they get to the APA, formal, we don't do. Informal, we never do. We never follow it. And then when they have 30 days, and then what happens? Now, Congress says has 6 months to look over the shoulder of these agencies and say, hey, are you guys screwing them people really good? They have an overview, and they can actually bring it up within 6 months and stop the agency. Now imagine that Congress has to stop an agency from doing something. Did they teach that? I don't think so. And in the congressional record, it says nothing applies to the citizens, which are actually citizens of the United States, until an agency does something. And it also says Congress can withhold remedies of going to court. Does this sound like a constitutional republic? So an agency, number one, doesn't want us stopping them in their rulemaking because they never can follow it. And then Congress can say, oh, by the way, you know, they can do all this nonsense, but you don't have any right to go to court. Really? Or it's clarified off of Babcock. It says, by the way, whatever ruling, whatever remedy Congress gives you, you're stuck with it. See, it's nothing about the Constitution. It's a benefit. That's what I finally, when I found Babcock case, and I finally understood it and followed it all the way through. It's a benefit. You accept a benefit, and you're screwed. Shut the hell up and take your benefit. And the other thing that's amazing about this is I found the United States District Court is a Part 301 reg in 1967, and they slid it out of Part 301. I don't know how they did it, because it's not in Westlaw. The court is a 301 reg, United States District Court, which I found two cases, says the judge represents the court, and the court is under the plenary power of Congress. This is how rigged this whole system is. It's all rigged. There is no constitutional republic operating today. It's all an illusion. And I can prove every damn bit of it now. They don't teach this. So just to go over the overview of agencies, their affirmative act, it shall be in the Federal Register, general applicability, legal effect. Everybody has to take judicial notice of it, and if it's not there, they're done. Then they go to the APA to try to figure out if it has the force and effect of law. There's the formal way, predicate, they never do it. And all you do is you go into the Federal Register publication and just search on 553. Little B. That's all you do. That's the only test you have to look for. And it'll say, oh, it's impractical. It's unnecessary. It's not in the public interest. There's never an emergency. And nobody's bringing this up. You literally cannot make this up. So with that in mind, then we have when they use 5 USC 301. I just read, it is the executive making stuff for the internal use of his its employees. That's it. And the Supreme Court labeled it 5 USC 301, and it's just housekeeping. It's got nothing to do with subsidy regulations, because if it had the force and effect of law, it's not law. They're called subsidy regs or legislative rules. Never seen one yet. And the IRS in 1954 put out a federal register. It's in front of the CFR books. Go look. Page 3. The last paragraph is missing. It says, that's the one that says we're going to do Section 3 and 4 of the APA, subsidy rigs. It's not there. They just left out the last paragraph. They have no intention because they can't. They're sitting outside the Constitution. Isn't that amazing? They're sitting outside the Constitution. And they're our enemy. We are being ruled by agencies that are our enemy. Because they don't want us interfering with them ruling over us. And in the Attorney General's opinion of 1941, when they were trying to figure out how to deal with this, it said that an Article 3, a constitutional court, cannot deal with agency regulations. Why is that? That's an important concept. The reason being, all agencies are ruling us, and that we have to volunteer. So there is no, like the 1040, it's an implied law. I volunteer to the IRS, I owe money, the IRS has no obligation to me, so you can't get into a pissing match of a case or controversy unless you have two parties of which each owes something for the other to do. That's why they can't do constitutional law. Because there's no two parties that have a problem. And yet they put people in jail under tax evasion, of which the first element is there has to be a notice of deficiency, a 301 reg. You can't make this up. I brought some of this, not this up, but some of this about subsidy regs to an attorney out of Wisconsin. I can't think of his name. And you know what he said? We can't do scorched earth. In other words, the attorney goes to court. He can't do the full truth because he'll lose his bar card. And that's a fact. In Alaska, they got him nailed down right to the... They have a Rule 5 and a Rule 64 oaths. They created a whole new court system, gave it a whole new name, and said, if you want to do any constitutional law, bye-bye. You're not working for the Alaska Bar with a bar card. And they printed... Only in America. So now that if we use that same concept, that's why I like to go into and look at these cases, because most people don't. It takes a little practice. But if you do not understand how agencies work, their only affirmative act, they cannot use code. Their affirmative act is regulations, and they are bound by those regulations. They have no wiggle room. And you can't tell by looking at them unless it starts with part 301, and then you know you're done. IRS is a done deal. If anybody wants to donate to the IRS, fine. You're going to have to fight for some of these, depending on the situations. I'm going to get to that soon. I'm working on a compost issue where the guy has a patent where you can take all these vegetable matters, animals, dead animals, and everything, in 2 years come out with the most amazing organic fertilizer, and we fertilizer companies don't want him here, obviously. And they shut him down, put him in jail. So we're going to have a go at that. And as soon as I get through with that, then I got another issue, a minor issue, with a friend, and then we're gonna come back on the IRS like the Kraken, like what's her name, said Sidney Powell. Why is anybody doing IRS? The W-4s are constitutional now. Says so, just write exempt. Send it back. Send back their implied law. They have an offer. They're saying, would you like to owe me money? And you just write in exempt. Send it back. Says, no, thank you. That's a legal binding offer back. And that's why you have to physically write exempt. It's your modifying their offer. That makes it legally standing. And there's got a couple of people that's using that to great effect. Stop taking out money and they haven't heard a thing. And one guy, Prudhoe Bay, did three companies. Hadn't heard a peep in a year and a half. but most people are scared. We have a right to be. Fear is a good thing. But we got to get over our fear and get off the fence and fight, because our republic right now is overthrown. And if you don't understand it, and now what they're doing with this COVID-19 and these shots are a biological warfare. David Martin, the guy that monitors all that, gives all of the patents. I've had him on his show. I didn't have him on, but I put out his some of the stuff, and I got his transcript. If you haven't seen the transcript, it'll blow you out of the water. He cites the patents where they admit they're making an infectious lung disease that is a bioweapon. And what it's going to do, it's going to kill your natural immune system, and at some point you're going to die, or you're going to live one of the most miserable lives you ever thought of. Back in a minute.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, what I'm going to do next hour is what the American Frontier or frontline doctors had filed against COVID. And so I am not against them. I'm 100% for them. But their attorneys are missing the jugular, which I'm going to get into. And it's about what this COVID and all this stuff, and it's about, you can believe the name of this, because they cite 45 CFR Part 46. This is in their complaint. They don't cite anything beyond that. They just say they're talking about implementing. But what you have to understand, agencies can't implement a damn thing. How do they implement? How do they put something into effect? Congress passes a law and says, oh, by the way, if your agency doesn't do something to make this work, it's not going to work? Are you, like, stupid? Sheesh. Devise all, implement. Now, that's in this. But when I saw that, I said, well, let me go look. I'll see what it says. The first thing it says, what does this policy apply? To what does this policy apply? And it's protection, the policy for protection of human research subjects. That is an important, they call it subjects here, human research subjects. What is their policy concerning human research subjects? Is that not an important thing? They give the definition purposes. They say they're an agency and all that. They published in the Federal Register. So we already got all that proven. What we need to understand is what the hell did they say in the Federal Register? And it is, I've never seen what I saw in this. I've never seen anything like it. And I've read hundreds, probably thousands of regulations. I know how this stuff works. I'm not bragging because a lot of people have helped me. It takes persistence and it takes work. And it also takes practice. Like anything, practice. You have to learn how to read. But what I am trying to get people to do is to bypass all of the crap that they put out there that's nonsense. General applicability and legal effect, the only affirmative act, the only affirmative act that an agency can have is in the Federal Register. And if it's not there, it says it has no application. And it says if it's there, everybody's got to take judicial notice. And the only other step is the APA of 46, subsidy, formal and informal, have force and effect of law. There are no formal, so you just concentrate on the informal. It's impractical. Not in the public interest. That nonsense. And it tells you right there, we don't want you interfering with what we're doing. They will never state the emergency because they can't. But then you go look at something else, which I'm going to get in after the top of the hour in the second Federal Register. You have to go to the Federal Register publications to find this out. They have to tell you there. That is their confession sheet. That's just like sitting with a priest and somebody's on the other side and saying, okay, confess to me, what the heck have you been up to? And they put it in writing. Nobody ever looks. And nobody probably understands because where are you going outwards?
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RB.